But we've been speaking on Thanksgiving last week and for the next few weeks. And the theme verse has been 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, it says. Last week, we looked at the Easy Living Translation when it said, in most things, give thanks. But we don't read the Easy Living Translation. We read the Living Translation and the King James Version, the ESV, where it says, in everything, give thanks. And one of the reasons why we can give thanks in everything in Romans 8:28, because he works all things. All things and everything are in correspondence with each other, correct? Everything is all things. And it works all things together for our good. And in review of last week, we looked at being thankful is a choice. It's a choice that we make. In Leviticus, we see that it was an offering that was given at our own will. It was a free will offering. We also looked at that we need to realize that the genuine thanksgiving is bound with trust. Is bound with trust. And we'll only be thankful to the Lord as much as we truly trust Him. You trust Him to this measure, you'll thank Him to that measure. All right? And then we also looked at genuine thanksgiving and salvation. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see that, you know, there's nothing in us besides a simple, yes, Lord, receiving the gift of salvation from Jesus. It's nothing. I mean, we don't deserve it. We deserve to be on the cross, not Him. But He chose to take our place, you know, to pay that price and to have that thanksgiving, to thank the Lord daily in that area. We need to have that. We can't lose sight of that. When we lose sight of that, it's a very dangerous place. And then we also looked at thanking God and His continual presence and power in our lives, and how it's the Lord that works in us and through us to do His will and to do His good pleasure. And that was in Philippians 2:12-13. I think in the end, we basically did a simple equation. Dependence on the Lord equals a thankful heart. Dependence on the Lord equals a thankful heart. We do not want to become a bitter people. We do not want to be a people that has lost their sense of thanksgiving. I've seen many privileged children where they're not thankful to their parents at all. Yesterday, we attempted to go to Iron Kettle. It was cut a little short. I wasn't doing so well. And we're standing in line to get some cider and donuts. And Josh is like, thanks, Dad. Thanks so much for bringing us here. It really means a lot to me. And this guy turns around. He goes, you don't hear that anymore today. And I'm like, no, you don't. As I'm very thankful for that. You know, and it brings joy to the Lord's heart. Just as it brought joy to my heart, you know, when Josh is saying, thank you so much. You know, it brings joy to the Lord's heart. And we thank Him daily. In the morning, it says thank Him. In the evening, it says thank Him. Throughout the day, let His praises be heard, giving thanks to the Lord. We want to be that thankful people. Today, we're going to be looking at how thanksgiving comes from God and how thanksgiving replaces sin. And again, the theme verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Christ Jesus concerning you. And if you turn open your Bibles to Romans 8:18. We see here another reason why we can give thanks. I'm going to try and give each time we come together in this study, I'm going to try and give you a reason why we can give thanks. Not just give thanks. You must give thanks. But why? Why? Some keys here. Romans 8:18. It says, for I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now this... I didn't, I tried starting my Sunday school earlier this week. In fact, I try and have my Sunday school done before I even start. It's just everything's been piling on top of each other. And then I was sick all week. But this is the first verse that the Lord gave me for this. So I'm like, yeah, I reckon the suffering of this present time. Okay, thank you, Lord. I can give thanks because this, you know, this suffering is nothing. It's nothing compared, you know, to what God is going to reveal in us and through us. I mean, in our weakness, He is made strong. He's shown strong in our lives. Is He not? Is He not? You know, and, you know, we can praise the Lord when we're sick. You know, like, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm sick. You know, we don't need to do that, you know, and go all wacko and stuff. You know, but, you know, in return, thank you, Lord, You can get me through this. You've done it before. You can do it again. And, Lord, if this is what takes me home, thank You that this is taking me home. You know, but still, remain thankful to the Lord. Remain thankful to Him. Nothing's out of His control. Nothing is out of God's control. Remember that, okay? So, true thanksgiving comes from a heart that is set on God. That is set on God. And the source of true thanksgiving is through Jesus Christ. And we see that in Romans 1 and verse 8, where it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world, the whole world." And yeah, I thank the Lord for each one of you here. I really do. It really means a lot that, you know, you set this up here. I mean, as tempting as it looks right now, I think my pride is remaining my legs to be stronger than they really want to be. You know, I thank the Lord. I really do. And, you know, how can one not really show the thanksgiving of, you know, that should come, that should stem from a believer? I mean, your price of death has been paid. Eternity has been opened in light instead of death because of salvation. You know, we want to remain a thankful people. I'm going to say this over and over and over again, because this is the purpose of this course, is to open our eyes to an attitude of thanksgiving in everything, in everything. If you can open up your Bibles to Matthew 18, we're going to read about a person that was very unthankful. In fact, in our Bibles, it's labeled the unforgiving servant. But I can change this title because it's not part of the original text, okay? I can change this. I'm going to title this parable, The Unthankful Servant. The Unthankful Servant, okay? And it has to do with forgiveness. But forgiveness and thanksgiving go hand in hand as well. They really do. And we'll see what I'm talking about here in Matthew 18, starting verse 21. And Peter asked the Lord, I'm reading out of the ESV, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And then he brings out the parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who wishes to settle accounts with his servant. Verse 24, when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seized him and begged him, and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, I will pay you. And he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debts because you pleaded with me. And should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And the excuse me. The first servant, he truly wasn't thankful for the forgiveness that he received. He wasn't just given time to pay his debt. He wasn't allotted further duration to pay what he owed the master. He was forgiven. It was settled. No more. And just, it was almost like he had a self-privileged attitude, like, wow, yeah, I deserve that because I'm, you know, I mean, it's almost like a snobby child. Have you ever dealt with a child that was overprivileged? It's okay, you can raise your hand. And an overprivileged child where they think that people owe them. We call them millennials nowadays. Where they think that people owe them. And this is the attitude. It was an unthankful attitude that this servant had towards this retribution, complete washing away of 10,000 talents. And it really, and to give you in perspective what 10,000 talents equals, I mean, it really depends if it's 10,000 talents of silver or 10,000 talents of gold. But in the middle, it's $2.2 billion. If any of you go into debt, $2.2 billion, I'm going to beat the snot out of you, okay? I don't know what this guy was doing. $2.2 billion that he owed the master. I don't know if I owed $2.2 billion from some outrageous reason, I would be filled with gratitude, overwhelmed with thanksgiving. As the scripture says, exceedingly grateful, exceedingly full of joy that my debt has been paid. And yet, what's he do? He turns around and he finds his, I'm going to call it an underservant. The scripture says a fellow servant, but the scripture also says that you are a slave to those that you owe money to. So I'm going to call it his underservant, okay? The person that was slave to him. And he takes a hold of him and chokes him. He puts his hand around his throat and chokes him and says, "Give me what you owe me." And in return, he begs, let me pay you. Give me time. Give me time. And he didn't act as according to how he was just treated, was he? Again, we see scripture. We are judged the way we judge others. And in turn, that first servant, his debt, it came back. He owed that debt again. The master said, "You should have showed mercy. I showed you mercy. You didn't show mercy. You do owe this. This is yours. This is the way you want to judge others. This is the way you're getting judged. Now, you're going to be locked up until it can get paid." In essence, it's never going to get paid. You can't pay for something if you're locked up. Right? It's an unattainable thing. It's very serious. You know, he didn't have that thankfulness. He wasn't truly thankful for the gift that he received. And we need to be thankful for the things the Lord gives us daily. Whether it's the every breath that we have, or even having a silly cold and allergies on top of the same thing, you know, it's like, "Oh, thank you, Lord." You know, for every opportunity he gives us, we'll call them opportunities. I think we use the word trials too often. Let's call them opportunities. You know, to be thankful. Opportunities for the Lord to shine and to build and to bring us further into his kingdom. If he was truly thankful, he would have showed forgiveness. He would have showed what he received. In Matthew 7 and 16 through 20, we see that those that are thankful, they will bring forth thanksgiving. They will show that fruit. All right? It will be seen. And we see that when it talks about in the scripture, you know them by their fruits. In Matthew 7 and 16, it says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of, thistle? It's hard to say when your throat hurts. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and is cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. There's an old saying, good is good, bad is bad. Right? Good is good, bad is bad. It's a very, very old saying. And right here, a good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth bad fruit. And we want to be those good trees, those trees that are planted by the Lord, those trees that are bringing forth good fruit that are pleasing unto Him. I can't remember where I found this this quote, but it says, the very presence of thanksgiving points to the Holy Spirit as the source of thanksgiving, because without the work of the Spirit, it is impossible to please God. And we want, you know, the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Romans 8 and 5 through 8, we see kind of that same thought of pleasing God and some products of thanksgiving, of a thankful heart, where it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity with God, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And it says here, in verse 6, in the latter part, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. And those that have that peace, you know, those that have that thankful spirit, you know, that true, genuine thanksgiving, they'll have that peace. They'll be content in the Lord. They'll be content where the Lord has them and where the Lord is leading them. Says, Lord, I am fully, remember I said, fully dependent on the Lord. Fully dependent on the Lord, as my children are dependent on me and my wife to lead them, to feed them, you know, to make sure that before they leave that their shirt's on the top and their pants are on the bottom instead of the other way around. It gets mixed up. It's strange how that happens once in a while. For those that you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Like, how on earth did you... Oh, never mind. Let's fix this before you walk out in public, please. And, you know, we want to have that thankful heart. A true Christian is one who are after the things of the Spirit. Whether they learn to be content in the Lord and thankful where the Lord has them. An unthankful heart, a complaining heart, gets you nowhere. In fact, no, it doesn't get you nowhere, because there's no place, there's no such thing as nowhere. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. There's no such thing as nowhere. All right, it's always somewhere. And a complaining heart gets you lost. A complaining heart, a complaining spirit cause you to wander around in the wilderness, as we've seen with the children of Israel. It was because they had an unthankful heart. They even wanted to return to Egypt at one time. To return to their oppressors. because they truly were not thankful for their deliverance. Now we want to be thankful for the deliverance that the Lord has given us. And sometimes we may find ourselves wandering and wandering and wandering around until the Lord, what's going on? And the Lord may say, well, you're not, you know, thankful. I need this. You need to have this thing. You need to be content. All you're doing is complaining, complaining, complaining. It took me 10 years to realize that. 10 years the Lord had me in a certain situation. And when I finally just gave it to the Lord and was content with where the Lord had me, and this, Lord, if this is what I have for the rest of my life, I'm going to be happy. And within 2 months later, the Lord moved things onward. 10 years of complaining. You know, maybe we need to put the complaining spirit to death in our lives, as, you know, many of the Israelites had to die before the younger generation can move on. I'm not saying that you complainers need to die or anything like that, you know. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to put the complaining spirit to death. Ah, that's good stuff. It's just tea. It's not coffee. It's just, well, it's English coffee. Oh. Oh, makes you wonder. There must have been a huge gap between the old generation and the new generation of the Israelites with attitude. It must have been a huge gap. I don't know about you, but if you're the younger generation, you're just waiting for that last person to die. It's like, anytime now we can move on. You know, it's like that last, and sometimes that's how the Lord is with us. Come on, I have this waiting for you. You need to put this to rest. You just, you know, put this complaining spirit down and move on and be content. Which brings us on to our next point, where thanksgiving replaces sin. Thanksgiving replaces sin. And Paul, in Ephesians 5 and 4, he gives us, he gives a command to the believers to stop sinning and to put thanksgiving in its place. And it reads, "Let there be no filthy nor foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place," or in the King James Version, "not fitting. But instead, let there be thanksgiving." So don't let there be foolish talk, crude jokes, or anything like that. But instead, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And, you know, we're always doing something. You know, either we're sitting, or we're standing, or, you know, or talking, or being quiet, awake, or sleeping, like some of you in here. And, you know, we're always doing something. Always. And, you know, we want to have a godly words coming out of us, words of thanksgiving, instead of what it says, filthy or foolish talk or crude joking. And even when, I mean, they had a study with men and women, I can't remember who did the study, about putting a man in a room and a woman in a room with nothing, and the woman's brain just keeps going and going and going, and the man's brain almost comes to a complete stop, and almost a complete stop. All right? He's still doing something. All right? So we're always doing something. And we want to make sure that what we're doing is profitable for the kingdom of God. We want to make sure what we're doing is with a thankful heart and not with a bitter heart. Not with an unthankful heart. So we are either acting with sin, with a sinful, thankless heart, which leads to foolish talking, crude talking, or thoughts, or we're acting with a thankful heart, where the mind of the flesh or mind of the spirit. We want the mind of God. And it really comes from, again, depending fully on the Lord, seeing the Lord in every situation. And I often ask myself, it's like, oh, this is awful, just awful. I mean, even when you're dealing with people daily in and out, I mean, it's like, you gotta look at it with a different perspective. You gotta look at it as, you know, it's like you're here helping them And they need it. They need help, not just with their cars, but spiritually as well. They need direction. And, you know, just to show that kindness that Jesus has shown us to others. If you're truly not thankful for your salvation, then you won't show it to others. I know some people, they say they're Christians, but they walk around like they're stuck-up snobs. That's not Christ-like. Not one bit. Not one bit. We want to be those that are attracted to the Christ in us. To the Christ in us. Not to that fleshly mind thinking that we're better than others. John Piper, which is a Calvinist, but he's more of a Pentecostal. We'll call him a Baptocostal, okay? He said, the key to unlocking a heart of gratitude and overcoming bitterness and ungodliness and disrespect and violence is a strong belief in God. The Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider, the Hope Giver. And if we do not believe, we are deeply indebted to God for all we have or hope to have, then the very spring of gratitude has gone dry. The very spring of gratitude has gone dry. And we want to maintain a healthy appreciation for what the Lord is doing in our lives. For the work God has done and will do in our lives. Scripture says He will be faithful to complete it. He's not done. He will continue to do the work as His Scripture, as His Word says. In Ephesians 4 and 29, in verse 29 through 32, we see some produce of a thankful heart. Yesterday, I saw a bunch of different produce from vines and from trees, apples and gourds and things that look like they didn't grow on this earth, but that's besides the point. Some of those gourds are just so weird looking. Oh, it looked like they grew in a cave somewhere. But again, it's produce. It's something that the Lord put here so we can benefit from. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. Do this instead. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And you see, these are the products of a thankful heart. You know, they're being kind one to another. They're putting away bitterness. Putting it away. And wrath or you know, just having that easily angered. I've the difference between wrath and anger, to easily describe it, I mean, wrath is just off the charts. You know what I mean? You see people just raging with anger. That would be wrath. Sometimes you see, you know, on the news where, you know, just something stupid happened and an accident, for example, and another person just gets out of the car and starts punching another person. That's not anger. You know, that's just wrath. I mean, that's just, ugh. It's sick to see. It really is. And so often we can be doing that inside. You know, just screaming inside, you know, and it's like doing it outside. Jesus turned it around. He pointed it to the heart. He's speaking to the believer here. And put anger and put all that stuff behind you. Speaking badly or poorly about each other. Put it away. But do this instead, he says. be kind. Paul is speaking to adults. Be kind. How many times do we tell our children, be kind to each other? You have kids, right? Teacher? Yeah. You have to say, be kind. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like we just don't learn. We have to be told continually over and over again, be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. You know, what comes to mind when you think of tender-hearted? Has anyone been tender-hearted with you? It's really affected your life. It's like, wow, yeah, that was very, wow, that was, Almost want to like curl up in their lap and purr like a cat. You know? The tender-hearted. You know, to be tender with people and to, you know, if there's something that you think is, you know, bothers them, then you're really cautious around, you know, with that around them. And you know, you're very tender and easily spoken, and you're not going to walk up to them and point your finger and like, you. Being tender. Forgiving one another and our simple mistakes and our setbacks, you know? Instead of holding up each other's, you know, sin and our faults in each other's faces, why don't you hold them there up to the Lord? Lord, will you help this person in this area? Because I see it, and I see the need, and I'm not sure if they do, but, and then instead of, hey, do you see this person's need? Do you see this? Can you believe that they have this problem? No. Forgiving. You know, a forgiving heart is a thankful heart. We want to be forgiving to others, okay? As Christ has forgiven us. Oh, boy. We do not want to end up like that unthankful or that unjust servant there. Where the Lord showed an abundance of mercy. $2.2 billion. Forgave, just like that. And it says, this, no, you know, it's forgiven. Now, why don't you give it back to me in installments? Forgiven. God has forgiven us, so let's forgive others and be thankful for others as well. These are the attitudes or the produce that pour out of a thankful heart. So next time you find yourself murmuring about another believer, about your job, being bitter over a certain situation and lingering in that. We sometimes we get cut, right? We get cut. And we want, and there's a mark. You know, I have a cut, right? Or a scar right here. Okay? Which was a wound at one time. It was open and it festered and I played with a little bit and it took a little while, but it eventually healed, didn't it? You know, if you properly tend to a cut and you bandage it and you treat it and you put ointment on it, it will heal. And yes, there will be a scar there. But I can tell you, it won't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt anymore. Cuts hurt. But when you poke at them and you open them up and you stick your finger in there and all you do is think about that, you know, it's never going to heal. Never going to heal. All right, we get cut. It happens. But we need to keep our finger out of it and let the Lord put his hand over it. All right? And let him do that healing work that needs to happen. I mean, we're a family. Family really gets at each other's throats sometimes, don't they? Luckily, we don't all live with each other, all right? If anything, be thankful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, if anything, be thankful for that, you know? The other day, my son said he didn't want to live at our house, so, I mean, it happens. But it was just a thing of a moment, you know? I mean, it just happened to come out of him. I'm like, wow, out of the mouth, you know, boy. That hurts. Now I can teach him a lesson and put him on the porch This is fine. Do you want to live here? Boom. He doesn't want to live here, Rachel. Don't want him here. Don't want him here either, you know. No. No, we wouldn't do that to someone that's so precious. I wouldn't do that to someone that's so precious to me. So let's not do that to each other, because that's how we are very precious to each other. We're very precious to each other. All right? You don't want to cut off your toe. You don't want to cut off your finger or your ear, or pluck out your eye or anything like that, would you? Well, that's what each one of you are. You're members of one body. So let's be kind to one another and be thankful for each other and show that thankful attitude. Let that produce show in our lives, okay? I mean, we don't have to walk around, you know, and parade. You know, sometimes you see parades going on the street, Thanksgiving parades. And we don't need to have a thing. We don't have a parade for each other. I'm thankful for this person. So thankful. No, we don't need to do that, okay? But, you know, we don't need to be walking around looking like we're bitter at each other either, okay? We want to be a thankful people. All right, well, I'm going to stop there because I can't keep going on here. Thank you. Let's pray.